Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 27 July, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8 and groan, groan, groan. Romans chapter 8. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 8. We are in a fantastic section that is putting the spotlight on undeserved suffering. And we have this undeserved suffering for blessing illustrated in three groans. The groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22. Come on in. Not to worry. What is it? Better late than never? Then that's it. The groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22. The groan of the spiritually mature believer, Romans 8, 23 to 25. And the groan of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27. So three illustrations of the principle of undeserved suffering for blessing. The first groan, and we're right in the middle of studying that, is the groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22. And we've exegeted verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 19 sounds like this: for the confident expectation of creation, nature, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, the revealing of the sons of God, that's you and me. That's us coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. He, at the second advent, he comes back as the groom. We come back as his bride, and the revealing of the sons of God occurs at that second advent, Jesus Christ returned to the earth, and the establishment of his kingdom on planet earth. So that's the revealing of the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We're in our resurrection body, and we're coming back for the wedding supper of the Lamb, 1,000-year celebration in the millennial kingdom. And then the reason for this eager anticipation of the revealing of the sons of God at the second advent is then explained in the next two verses, verses 20 and 21. And we've exegeted verse 20, and it sounds like this: for the creation was subjected to futility. That occurred at the fall of man, Adam's fall, Genesis 3, 17 and 18. For the creation was subjected to futility at the fall of man against its own will. There's undeserved suffering, illustration of undeserved suffering, against its own will. But because of the one, God the Father, who has subordinated it, nature, on the basis of the hope, and of course you know hope is confidence, the absolute confidence of the second advent and the revealing of the sons of God and the millennial kingdom. And that brought us to looking at the general characteristics of the millennial kingdom. And we've studied the first 6 points on the general characteristics of the millennial kingdom. Point one was that the millennium starts out with believers only, because all unbelievers are judged and removed from the earth by the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is the judgment of the tribulational unbelievers at the second advent. They are removed from the earth. They're placed in the fire of torments for 1,000 years until the last judgment, the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20, 11 to 15, where they will have their day in court and be judged and then cast into the lake of fire. Both Jews and Gentiles who are tribulational unbelievers are involved in this second advent judgment, the baptism of fire. This judgment results in the millennium beginning with believers only. And we saw this in Matthew 3, 11 and 12 and Luke 3, verses 16 and 17. Point two, while the millennial kingdom starts out with believers only, many of their children, those who are rescued by Jesus Christ from the great tribulation, those believers, there will be many who will believe in Christ in the tribulation, the two witnesses, the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel proclaiming the grace gospel, and there will be Gentiles who will believe in Christ, there will be Jews who will believe in Christ, and they come into the millennium in their physical bodies. We come back in our resurrection bodies, but they go into the millennium in their physical bodies. And therefore, they will procreate during the millennial kingdom and have children, and they're born physically alive and spiritually dead. And therefore, the solution to that is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And of course, Jesus Christ is ruling planet Earth. You would think that they would believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Some of them will, but there will be many who will not. So while the millennial kingdom starts out with believers only, many of their children will reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. In the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, there will be a great population explosion. Unfortunately, many of their children will turn out to be unbelievers. They will refuse to place their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Point three, spirituality in the millennial kingdom is by the filling of the Spirit and is characterized by great ecstatics. There will be optimum spirituality among believers in the millennial kingdom, and we studied that in Joel 2, 28 and 29. Point four, perfect environment exists in the millennial kingdom because Satan is bound and demons are removed. Revelation 21 through 3, Satan is placed in prison for that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And of course, Satan is the author of religion. Religion is the devil's ace trump, and religion is a counterfeit of Satan's attempt to counterfeit the grace plan of God and salvation by grace. So he has religions all over the world. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living and true God entered into by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So a perfect environment exists in the millennium because Satan is placed in prison and bound and demons are removed. Revelation 21 to 3. Point 5, because Satan and demons are removed, there is no religion. The devil's ace trump in the millennium. And that means perfect environment. And then point 6, the Lord Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth in the millennial kingdom. And this will include the most amazing 1,000 years, there is universal peace, Isaiah 2:4, Hosea 2:18, Micah 4:3. There is universal prosperity, Psalm 72, verses 7 and 16. There will be universal knowledge of God, Isaiah 11:9, Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, Hebrews 8, 10 and 11, Hebrews 10, 15 and 16. There will be longevity in the human race, Isaiah 65:20. There will be perfect world government under the leadership of Christ and the delegation of authority to invisible heroes of the church age. Hopefully you make up some of those invisible heroes. Invisible heroes of the church age to rule nations. Revelation 2:26, Isaiah 11:1 and 2, Zechariah 14:9. There is perfect objectivity in the administration of justice, Psalm 72, verses 12 to 14. Israel is regathered and restored as a client nation to God, Zechariah 10, verses 6 through 8. And there will be perfect environment in nature. Creation is released from the curse of the fall of man. That's our passage, Romans 8, 19 to 22. Plant and animal life abound, Isaiah 35, 1 and 2, Isaiah 35, 6 and 7. Animals lose their ferocity, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, and Isaiah 65, 25. That characteristic is where we are at right in our passage, Romans 8, 19 to 22. So point seven, all the unconditional covenants. God has made 4 unconditional covenants with Israel. These unconditional covenants are fulfilled to the believers in Israel in the millennial kingdom. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. All the unconditional covenants are fulfilled to Israel. And point 8, the Gog Revolution terminates the perfect environment of the millennial kingdom. The Gog Revolution terminates the perfect environment of the millennial kingdom. Why? Because Satan is released from prison. Satan's released from prison, and he immediately is deceiving people all over planet Earth, deceiving the nations. You remember that? You don't? Okay, turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 7. when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. See, the reason why there's perfect environment, Satan's in prison. But Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and to deceive the nations. All over planet Earth, Satan will be deceiving all those unbelievers that did not place their faith in Jesus Christ. So he will be deceiving. The perfect environment is over because Satan is now released from prison, and he is now deceiving the nations, people all over planet Earth, in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loved, Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And then verse 10, and the devil who deceived them, perfect environment is over when he's released. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night till next Wednesday. Forever and ever. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Just seeing if you're paying attention. So, subpoint one. Satan is released from prison after 1,000 years and immediately starts a revolution to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ's reign. Satan is released from prison after 1,000 years and immediately starts a revolution to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ's reign. Two, this revolution proves that perfect environment is not the solution to man's problem of the sin nature and spiritual death. Because there has been 1,000 years of perfect environment with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling in the millennial kingdom. So this revolution proves that perfect environment is not the solution to man's problem of the sin nature and his spiritual death. Three, regeneration. Spiritual birth. You must be born again by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the only solution to man's problem. The only solution to man's problem of spiritual death is being born again. Regeneration. Spiritual birth. By faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the only solution to man's problem. Four, only the born-again believer can appreciate perfect environment and the one who provides it, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Only the born-again believer can appreciate perfect environment and the one who provides it, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Five. At the end of the millennial kingdom, the universe is destroyed. You see, all those liberals and out there saying that we're destroying planet Earth. We're destroying planet Earth. The global warming. You can't drive a car with uses gas. You can't have gas equipment in your kitchen, a gas stove, whatever, because we're destroying planet Earth. That's the most arrogant thing I can ever think about, that some little human being can destroy planet Earth. We can't destroy planet Earth. Impossible for us to destroy planet Earth. The only one who can destroy planet Earth and the universe is the one who created it. The one who created it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ created the heavens, created the earth, and we are not going to destroy it. In fact, global warming, supposedly, well, they've even found out that in Antarctica, the ice is building up deeper and deeper in Antarctica. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there will be perfect air, perfect water, world peace, perfect prosperity. All of that will be in the millennial kingdom. At the end of the millennial kingdom, Jesus Christ will destroy the heavens and the earth and create a new heavens and a new earth. And there's a fantastic passage in that. So I make sure you get the point. At the end of the millennial kingdom, the universe is destroyed and a new heaven and new earth is created. 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is a great passage because Charlie Flood is in this passage here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Start at verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. They're here. Scoffers are all around us right now. Scoffers will come. What are they going to be doing? Scoffing. That's what scoffers do. Scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires, the lust patterns of their sin nature. They will say, where is this coming? Where is the coming of Christ, the second coming? Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. That's the Noahic flood. That's the Mabul. That's the Charlie Mabul. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed, the Noahic flood. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not desiring anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God would love to see every person, every member of the human race, believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And that's why when Christ went to the cross, he paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Everyone is potentially savable. Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, receives eternal salvation. So God is not, he is patient with you. He is not desiring anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Change your mental attitude and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord. Now that's a very important phrase. You need to know exactly what the day of the Lord is. So are you ready? It includes several things. The day of the Lord begins with the tribulation period. The tribulation, 7-year tribulation. We're living in the church age. We're not living in the day of the Lord. Following the rapture, the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God, then the tribulation begins. That's when the day of the Lord begins, the tribulation. So the day of the Lord includes, first of all, it begins with this 7-year tribulation period. Secondly, it includes the events of the second advent of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ returned to this earth. We return with him. He returns as the groom. We return as the bride in our resurrection bodies. There is the baptism of fire. All unbelievers are removed from planet earth. All of that is a part of the second advent of Jesus Christ. So that's the second part of the day of the Lord, the events of the second advent. Third, the millennial kingdom on earth, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. That's a part of the day of the Lord. And then I'm glad I reached puberty finally, but anyway. Fourth, it will conclude with the destruction of the entire universe. It will conclude with the destruction of the entire universe. That's the day of the Lord, beginning with the tribulation, then the events of the second advent, then the millennial kingdom, and concludes with the destruction of the universe. All right? So, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be incinerated. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. That's the special Elsebea, that's the special word describing the spiritual life that God has for us in the church. You should be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and glorify God to the maximum. That's what you ought to be doing. You should be living the spiritual life and glorifying God to the maximum. So, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be ought to live holy and godly life, live the spiritual life, and glorify God to the maximum. Verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God, that's eternity. The day of God is eternity. And speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. All right? This is a fantastic passage. And I've taught Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 3 Peter, 4 Peter, 5 Peter. So at the end of the millennial kingdom, the universe is destroyed and a new heaven and new earth is created. 2 Peter 3:3-13. All right? Okay. So Romans 8:19-20, we're in the groan of nature, the groan of creation. We're halfway through. Verse 19, for the confident expectation of creation, nature, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That's our return with Jesus Christ at the second advent. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility at the fall of man, Genesis 3:17-18, against its own will. This is an illustration of undeserved suffering. But because of the one, God the Father, who has subordinated it, nature, on the basis of the hope, the absolute confidence of the second advent and the revealing of the sons of God, the millennial kingdom. Now, we continue on. We're halfway through the first groan, the groan of nature. Verse 21, and it just gets better and better. And there's some really great, we got some Greek usage here. We have, you know, there are 26 different kinds of genitives. You know that, right? 26. That's why you go to seminary to learn all those 26 and find out which one is this here. We have a genitive of attribute here. That just, I got down and started doing push-ups and jumping around. It was fantastic. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Mistranslated, whoever, I would have flunked him if I was a Greek teacher and the translation. Of course, you realize the King James was translated by a lot of unbelievers too. You know that, don't you? Of course you do. This is the conjunction D-O-T plus the nominative singular of ketesis with the definite article plus the nominative singular feminine of the intensive pronoun autos plus the conjunction chi with the future passive indicative of eleutherao plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive singular of douleia, plus the genitive singular of phthora. Yeah. Well, we start out, and Arnton Gingrich on page 198 says that deity, at the beginning of an inferential clause, correctly translated, therefore, and should be translated, therefore, in this verse. Therefore, and then we have hey ketesis once again. We had this before. That's the word for creation. That's the word for the material universe. That's the word for nature. So hey ketesis, creation, material universe, nature. And then the intensive pronoun autos. Now, it's an intensive pronoun. And literally, it means self, and you can translate it itself, himself, herself, oneself, ourselves, all kinds of selves. See? However, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 122, tells us that autos in our verse, Romans 8:21, is the intensifying use of autos, and it should be correctly translated even, should be correctly translated even. And then we have the adjunctive use of the conjunction chi, and that's also. So, corrected translation. Therefore, even the material universe, even nature, will also be eleutherao, caused to be set free. Therefore, even the material universe, even nature, will also be set free. Now the verb eleutherao, great word. And I want you to, just a minute, E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O, long O. See that ending? You don't learn that until about the fourth year of Greek. And it was really funny, I was then seeing my cardiologist, and he said, now, you graduated from Washington State, and then you went to graduate school at Dallas Theological Seminary. So how long was that? 4 years. So you got your doctorate? I said, no, master's, master of theology. 4 years? You were 4 years and you didn't get a doctorate? I'm in medicine and I get a doctorate if I'm in there for 4 years. He says, you should have gotten a doctorate for 4 years. I said, no, master of theology. And you know what? I barely, after 4 years of Greek and Hebrew, barely qualified to study the scriptures from the original autographs to teach. Barely. And you never learn about this A-O ending till year number four. And by the way, Dallas Seminary was at that time was the only one that had a four-year seminary to learn that. And who was the one who set it all up? Lewis Berry Chafer. Lewis Berry Chafer. And he started Dallas Theological Seminary because he felt handicapped because he did not know the languages. And he wanted to train men who had the gift of pastor-teacher in the languages, the original languages of Scripture, Hebrew, Aramaic, Koine Greek, so that they could teach exactly what God the Holy Spirit put in the Bible. And Lewis Berry Chafer, fantastic man of grace. And he was attacked by all kinds of people because he was such a grace man. And Chafer Theological Dictionary that he set up, one of the best ever written. And but you know what they've done? They've taken and thrown that out, and they condensed it to just two volumes. When he made it, it was 12 volumes. Now they've condensed it to two. Dr. Chafer was a phenomenal, phenomenal man of grace. And Dallas Seminary was never accredited while he was the head of the seminary because he taught theology, systematic theology. He taught it, and everybody got an A. Everybody got an A. Now, some of the kids come up and said, gee, I should have flunked. I should have got something a lot less than an A. He gave everyone an A, and then he says, more important for you to understand, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it in any way, and that's the grace of God. You don't earn or deserve a thing. If you learn grace, that's more important than anything else in systematic theology. Learn grace, grace, grace. And that's why Lewis Berry Chafer, he was the best of the best in the United States of America at that time. Well, he set up a seminary, and it's 4 years. And you don't get to learn this until you get to the fourth year, the A-O ending. And the A-O ending on a verb is causative. It's a causative ending. So, eleutherao means to free or to set free, but the causative ending, a-o, is caused to set free, caused to be set free. And from that verb, eleutherao, we have the noun eleutheria. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-I-A. Eleutheria. And eleutheria means freedom. Liberty. Freedom. The future tense is a predictive future and refers to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom on planet Earth. The passive voice is the voice of grace. Creation, nature, will receive the action of being set free from corrupting slavery into glorious freedom. And that's the way it should be translated, because we have two genitive of attributes. And it should be translated like an adjective, from corrupting slavery into glorious freedom. That's one of the 26 genitives in the Koine Greek. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact. This is reality. The preposition apa is the preposition of separation. Separation from someone or separation from something. And here it is separation from taste duleus, taste phthoros. And that is the genitive singular of duleia plus the genitive singular of phthora. Duleia is the word slavery. Phthora means corruption. And the genitive case is very, very important. It's the genitive of attribute. And the noun in the genitive names an attribute, an innate quality of the noun to which it stands related, and has the same force as would the adjectival form of the same word, acting as a simple modifier, and therefore it should be correctly translated, corrupting slavery. Corrupting slavery. That's the genitive of attribute. So, corrected translation. Therefore, even the material universe, nature, will also be set free, caused to be set free, from corrupting slavery. And then the next, we have another genitive of attribute, into glorious freedom. Now that is, I just love that. So, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is the preposition ace plus the accusative. Well, I just looked up and saw time has run out already. I can't believe when I'm having so much fun up here teaching the Bible, that clock just flies. All right, well, we'll take a break. I'll let you go out and warm up. I know you're freezing. Go outside and warm up, and then come back in a few for part two. All right?